Sometimes I come to church and you hear the special and I just want to sit and just enjoy it for a little bit longer. But I'm not going to take that liberty and make Sam play it on repeat. So, but sometimes it's very enjoyable. I just enjoy Wednesday night services and being able to come in and get a bit of a reprieve from the world and from work and from just everything you have to deal with. And sometimes there's nothing better than just being able to sit down and hear just some of the songs that are about our Lord and all the things that He does. It's just always a blessing. I'm, of course, thankful that I get to be up here tonight. I appreciate always the opportunities that I have, and I very much so enjoy getting to do that in my home church, getting to preach to my family, if you will. I understand that the weather's probably not going to get any better, so I'm not going to keep us here long tonight. I can't promise it's going to be as short as the devotion on Monday night at Hannah's Hope, all right? I might have set a record there. Actually, no, my record's like 11 minutes, so if I would have beat that, that just would have been embarrassing. But anyways, I don't know if it's going to be that short tonight. I'm going to strive for it. But anyways, that was quite the experience. Appreciate getting to do that. Brother Baldwin was nice enough to let me step in and share something, a little Christmas message for Hannah's Hope. And I had multiple kids come up and stand with me, so that was cool. Don't get any ideas tonight, Noah. You just stay right there, all right? But anyways, that was interesting. Good time. All right, well, tonight we're going to be in Judges chapter 20, if you want to turn there with me. Honestly, you know, with everything going on, I was trying to think. Brother Jake asked me if I wanted to do Wednesday night, and I just said yes, trusting that the Lord would lay something on my heart. And immediately I got just a thought. And, you know, with everything taking place right now, I guess, you know, you can say my mind was drawn to this passage of Scripture just because, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the children of Israel were in a battle, and, you know, they kept going up and kept losing. And sometimes in the battle of life that we face, not just as people, as individuals, but as a church, some days it can feel like we're losing the battle. It can just be one thing after the other. And, you know, we know there's always encouragement and knowing that, you know, sometimes battles get lost. But as Christians, as believers, we win the war. The Lord won it for us already. And there's always victory to look forward to. But that doesn't mean it can't get discouraging sometimes losing the battle. And sometimes you just get weak and you get tired. And anyways, my mind was drawn to this passage of Scripture. And so I just have a few, honestly, just devotional thoughts that I pray can be an encouragement. I joke with my Sunday school class often that I have the ministry of discouragement. And so hopefully it doesn't turn into that. But that is my spiritual gift. So obviously that's not actually in there. But anyways, I just pray that it would be an encouragement to you. Time does not permit me to go deep into just the context. There's a lot going on in the book of Judges. Israel made more mistakes than they did good, honestly. I mean, right off the bat, Joshua dies, and next thing you know, they did not do very well without him as a leader. God had to establish judges, and that's what this book is about, how God delivered them over and over again, but they kept turning from Him. And so all of that, you know, nothing really looked good all the way up until this point, chapter 20. Chapter 19 tells a very, very sad, very disturbing story. And chapter 20 is the aftermath of that. But it's very interesting just to see what they do. Their situation and the story that takes place right here, it, not even really close as in what we're going through right now as a church. But I just want to read the story and then pull some thoughts from it that I still think would be helpful lessons for us to learn. So, Judges chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, Tell us, how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine to lodge." Now I'm intentionally not telling that full story. It can get a bit graphic. I trust most in here have read this story and understand what took place. He doesn't recount everything here, but he just gives somewhat of a summation. So verse 4, "And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about me by night, and thought to have slain me, and my concubine have they forced that she is dead. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces." Oh, I guess it does describe some of the details here. Never mind. "And sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel." Sorry, parents, you'll just have to go home and explain this one to your children. "For they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to fetch victual for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. So all the men of Israel," now watch this, "were gathered against the city, knit together as one man." I can appreciate the fact that at least, even though they had, you know, just made a mess of things, now something devastating takes place. And there was already other things taking place that you read this and wonder why they didn't take a stand against that. But nonetheless, this horrible disaster takes place, and they all are knit together standing against this horrible problem that was created by their own brother, the tribe of Benjamin. Not only were they just in unity in general, but they were zealous over it. I mean, he says, "And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house." They weren't even going to go home until they saw this problem to its justified end, if you will. And so I appreciate the fact that in this circumstance, they united as a body to accomplish just simply what was right. There's a lot that we can learn from that just in general. When things take place in a church, it is absolutely imperative that we are knit together as one man, because we are up against evil. We will always be up against evil. And there's always going to be an enemy until the Lord defeats that enemy when it's all said and done. But as the church stands now, there's always going to be a battle. And the best thing we can do is always be in unity. And we've already talked about that a lot in recent days. But being knit together against the evil and the wickedness that takes place. If anything, it's a time for us to rally together and to have a unified front against the things that we face. I mean, if see, there I go, that ministry of discouragement. I almost said something a little harsh there. Let me rephrase that in my mind. Right now is a time for those that have any spirituality about them to perk up and say, okay, something's going on here. Let me stand up. Let me be in my place. Let me pay attention. Let me pray more. Let me be attuned to what is taking place in my church. I'm going to put aside the things that are not important, and I'm going to focus on what is important. I'm going to be there for my church. I'm going to be there for my church family. And I'm going to do the things that are right and the things that are necessary. This is a lesson that our church can learn greatly. Now, that's not a rebuke to those in this room, because we're here. But there are a lot in our church that need to learn that lesson. Verse 11, "So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Everyone could sling stones and in hairbreadth and not miss. And the men of Israel, beside Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword, and these were men of war. So, I mean, you're talking 400,000 against 25,700. The numbers are completely different here. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the two of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. You know, I can appreciate the fact that they sought counsel of God, and God responds to them and tells them, it's going to be Judah, let them lead the way in this. And so he gave them instruction on what to do, and so they went to do it. But right off the bat, we see that they're resorting to God for his counsel. But they should have began that process before they even made the decision in the first place. Again, where the children of Israel were at, God is not just their counselor. God should have been their commander. And we're going to see what starts to play out here. God tells them to go to battle, almost as if he's putting his stamp of approval on what they're doing, because it's a right cause, is it not? God is now behind them in their cause. They far outnumber the enemy, yet they go to battle and they lose right off the bat. And so they start losing. And now you start to wonder, what's going on here? And I'm sure they did themselves. But in verse 22, it says, and the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves. Now you might think, oh, well, that's good. Yeah, that's what they should do in this circumstance. I seem to remember another passage of Scripture somewhat similar to this one, where King David encouraged himself in the Lord. See, they placed more confidence in their numbers, more confidence in the right cause, more confidence in their own strength than they did the Lord's. Verse 23, and the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day, and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. So yet again they go out to fight, and they lose. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? So now they're getting to a place where they're saying, all right, Lord, let's start over from ground one. You've humbled us at this point. Now we're really looking to see what you want us to do, when they should have just started with that. And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. And Israel set liers in wait round about Gibeah, and the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day, and put themselves in array against Gibeah again as at other times. And the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. And they began to smite of the people and kill as at other times in the highways of which one goeth up to the house of God and the other to Gibeah in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, they are smitten down before us as at the first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from the city unto the highways. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their places, even out of the meadows of Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and the battle was sore, but they knew not that evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,000 and 100 men. All these drew the sword. Now, if you remember from the beginning, that was about all the men that they had. And so, yeah, they're fighting against Israel, and they're, you know, killing all these men. But Israel started out with 400,000. 40,000 gets killed. But when the Lord steps in, he just decimates just about all of them, but a few. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamites, because they trusted unto the liers in wait which they had set beside Gibeah. And the liers in wait hasted and rushed upon Gibeah, and the liers in wait drew themselves along and smote all the city with the edge of the sword. We'll stop there. There's much more I could read to finish this out, but it's a lengthy passage. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for our time. Thank you for church and getting to be here, Lord, and the things that we get to enjoy and benefit of just being in a church service. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us tonight and help us, that something would be said through the Word of God that would just be a help to somebody, Lord, and that you would encourage us. Father, we always have a need to just rest in you, seek your protection, seek your comfort, Lord, and I pray that we'd be able to find that tonight. But most of all, Lord, I just pray that you would please equip us, rally us together as a church, and help us to stand in this time that we're in. We love you, Father, and I ask that you'd bless our time here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said before, I don't have a full sermon for you tonight. I just want to give a few thoughts that I hope can be an encouragement to you. And so, by way of introduction, I'll just say this. The things that were most encouraging to me out of this passage of Scripture really was how they started out. They gathered together as one man. After everything that they had already been doing, this was something that took place amongst their entire nation that brought them all together. And in a church, it might not always be something like this. It might not be just, you know, some evil thing that somebody did. Sometimes it's just somebody passing away. Sometimes it's people getting hurt. Sometimes it's people getting lost. And as the battle goes on in life, and as just life goes on in general, you lose people. People get hurt, and casualties take place. But a lot of those times are times for a church that unites them. And so I think it's important to focus at least on that aspect of it, even during times that you might feel like you're just losing. It seems as though in the last couple weeks we received one piece of news after the other of just, oh man, there's something else, and there's something else, and there's something else, and you know, what's going on? Why is it one thing after the other? Why does it seem like there's so much taking place right now? And so really, my mind was drawn to this passage simply because of this thought and things we can learn from it, and that is lessons learned from losing. You know, what can we learn from a people that was doing the right thing and even had God on their side for most of it? What can we learn from their loss? Now, like I said, I realize that they ended up being victorious in the end, but there were some things that had to take place to get there. And it was those very things that I think can help us learn a few valuable lessons and things that were an encouragement to me. And so the first lesson that I think we can learn is in verses 22 through 26. And he says, "And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, Go up against him. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day, and Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day, and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword." The first lesson that we can learn is that my reliance on him takes precedence. My reliance upon the Lord ought to take precedence. It's, as I said earlier on, it's not just me resorting to Him after I've already made a decision. Even though it was a decision that they thought, no, this is right. We are going to fix this. We are going to make this right. This is a good cause. They did that and then resorted to the Lord. But they very quickly found out, after they lose, that maybe their reliance was a little bit too heavy on themselves. And so what we can learn from that is that our reliance on Him takes precedence. The first thing that they should have done was asked God what He would desire them to do. And that is what we should do as well. In times of difficulty, in the day of trouble, that is not a time to simply rely upon the talent that we have. Well, we have men in our church that can step up and do it. That doesn't mean anything. Well, we've got all of our bases covered, so we're going to be just fine. That doesn't mean anything either. At the end of the day, it really doesn't. And you can say, well, hey, no, this is right. We're doing the right thing. Let's just do it, and you know, we'll go to God when we need Him. No, this is a time when we should begin on our knees. And this is a time when we have to seek everything that we need from God first. Because our reliance upon Him throughout this entire time is the very thing that should take precedence. And it didn't take precedence for them. And we see that. And not only that, they didn't even learn it right off the bat. They already lost, and it says that they just encouraged themselves. We have to find our strength from the Lord. First individually, and then collectively as a church. Yes, we have things in place. Yes, we have strength, if you will. Yes, we have the numbers, if you will. All those things are there. But we're not supposed to be just encouraging ourselves. Come on, guys, we can do it. Let's rally together. Let's stand, and we're going to be able to get through this. No, no, no. Our reliance on Him takes precedence, not our reliance upon ourselves. The second lesson that we can learn is found in verses 26 through 28. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the son of Aaron stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. So the first thing that we can learn as a lesson learned from losing is that my reliance on Him takes precedence. But number two, my resilience in Him takes persistence. My resilience, and I don't really know the official definition of the word, but when I think of the word resilience, I think of my ability to bounce back, to get back to a state of normalcy. You'll hear oftentimes people say, oh, they'll be all right, when talking about a baby or a small child, because they're very resilient. Oh, they got a scrape or they broke a bone. It's okay. Children are very resilient. Christians should be some of the most resilient people as well. Because our resilience, again, does not stem from a reliance upon ourselves. Our resilience stems from the strength of the Lord. In these times, the best thing that we can do is just be persistent with it. Now you might say, well, they did that and they lost and then they lost and then finally God came through and they won. But what if they weren't persistent? What if they would have given up on day one because they thought they did everything right? They sought counsel of the Lord. He gave them the instruction. And then all of a sudden they just lost the battle and they said, okay, well, I guess that wasn't it. I'm just going to step down and forget about it. No, they were persistent with it. And because they got to a place where they understood that their resilience in Him requires their persistence. And so does it for us as well. Yes, things might look bad, but we have to keep going back. We have to keep going back. Every day, they got back up, went to the battle, and set themselves in array as they did before. Because their resilience in Him took persistence. And we can learn that lesson as well. Last lesson that we could learn is found in verses 29 through 48. Now that's the whole rest of the chapter. Obviously, I'm not going to read that. But what they needed most during this whole situation, after they relied upon Him and after God helped them to be resilient, was they needed reinforcement. All of their efforts were vain if they didn't have God on their side. And likewise are ours. It is not worth doing anything if we are not strengthened and reinforced by the Lord. They needed God's hand to show up and do what He does. Anytime there's a battle in Scripture and you get to the point where it says, the Lord smote, that's when God shows up. Because we're not the ones that always have to fight the battle. Because we're not the ones that are strong enough to do it. So what the real victory comes when God is able to show up. But first we have to rely upon Him solely, not ourselves. We have to find our resiliency in Him. And that can be extremely difficult to do, especially when dealing with heavy things. I said earlier, these kinds of times cause us to get weakened, cause us to be tired and to be weary. But our resilience is not going to be found in our own efforts. It's never going to work if we try to just simply encourage ourselves. We have to do as David did. And he encouraged himself in the Lord when everybody was against him, when all of his circumstances were against him. And so the third lesson is that my reinforcement from Him takes purpose. Something interesting that I notice in this passage of Scripture is, yeah, they were persistent. They kept getting up and doing it again. But this last time, now that they got the real answer from God, He says, go back. This time I'm going to deliver them into your hand. But they did something different this time that they didn't do any of the other times. And it honestly kind of doesn't make sense to me, because if they were relying upon their own strength, their own numbers, their own ability to fight, why wouldn't they have done this before? But this time around, it says, and Israel set liers in wait round about Gibeah. And I didn't read it, but later on, they draw them out just for them to then look back, and Israel had taken the city, and they look back and just see this pillar of fire and smoke. And so the Benjamites look back and they see, oh, we just lost. So why is it that this time they actually had strategy? Because after all that they had already went through, they finally realized that their reinforcement from Him took purpose. When we know that what we're doing is the right thing, it's not time for us to just lay back and say, okay, God, take the wheel. You do it all for me. No, He wants us to have purpose with what we're doing. And there ought to be some effort with what we're doing. It's one thing to trust God, but it's one thing to say you trust God. It's entirely a different thing to actually trust God and follow through with your part in trusting God. Because it's extremely easy to just throw those words out there. During the season, I'm just trusting the Lord. Yet the entire season is filled with you doing wrong things the entire time. Not resting in Him. Not relying on Him. Not allowing Him and His strength to help you be resilient. That's not trusting the Lord. And so the third lesson that we can learn is that our reinforcement from Him takes purpose. We should do everything we can to seek God for His guidance and be willing to listen to Him, but then have a purpose with the answer Because when God directs his people, he expects them to do something about it. I think of Cornelius in the book of Acts, and he prays to God, and God answers him. And the whole story after that is everything that Cornelius did. And he put a lot of effort and strategy into everything that he did. He didn't just sit there and say, okay, God answered my prayer, and now I'm just going to watch and do nothing. That's not how it works. And so hopefully they learn these lessons, but I think these are lessons that we can learn as well. And so in closing, I'll just ask a few questions. Do you find yourself in difficult circumstances resorting to yourself, the resources that you have, and your own strength to push through? Or do you take every ounce of how you feel and just pour it out before God? Say, God, I'm just relying on you right now. I don't know what to do, but I know that I need your guidance right now. I know that I'm going to need your help right now. So I'm relying on you. I'm doing everything I can to trust you. I don't want to pick myself up by my bootstraps. I don't want to take on the care of the world. I need to just trust you. What do you do in those situations? Where is your reliance found? And does your reliance on him take precedence? Can you describe yourself as a Christian as being resilient because you rely upon the Lord? Again, sometimes that is part of the wonderful aspects of the testimony that we have, is just how resilient we can be as God's people when dealing with difficult things. When you lose the battle over and over again, but knowing that in the end, there's victory. How resilient are you with all of it? And then lastly, where do you seek reinforcement from? And then when God shows you what he wants you to do, and I realize I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, you know, it'd probably be a better message to those that aren't doing this. Where do you go for reinforcement? And we're here tonight, why? Because we need reinforcement. I'm going to need God on my side because I'm not going to be able to do it without him. These are the lessons that we can learn from losing. And when it gets difficult, these are very important things that we should remember. That we need to rely upon God, be resilient in him, and find our reinforcement from him. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll pray and be done tonight. Father, thank you for our time again. Again, Lord, I just ask that you'd please just encourage us during this time, Father. We love you and ask you for your strength, Lord, for your guidance and your direction, Lord. Help us to not get ahead of ourselves. Help us to not seek strength from ourselves, Lord, but to simply rely upon you during this time that we're in. We love you, Father. Thank you for who you are and for what you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.